Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Tuesday, April 14th, 2026, and we have a genuinely packed show for you today.
Yeah, and I mean that in the best possible way. There is a lot happening right now in the Anthropic and Claude world, and some of it is kind of wild.
So we're going to get into all of it. We've got a story about a model that Anthropic built and then decided the world might not be ready for. We've got Claude quietly reshaping the agent software landscape overnight. We've got performance complaints from developers that are getting louder. And we've got a fake Claude installer being used to spread malware, which not great.
That last one always gets me. Like, the technology is impressive enough that people will download shady installers just to try and get access to it.
It says something. But let's start with the story that has been dominating the tech press for the past few weeks and really picked up steam again overnight. And that is Anthropic's model called Mythos. And the decision, which is still holding, not to release it.
Yeah, this is genuinely one of the more interesting situations I've seen play out in AI in a while.
So let's set the scene. Anthropic has built what appears to be an extremely capable model, and they're calling it Mythos internally and in their public communications. And the question everyone is asking is, why aren't they releasing it?
Right. And the short answer, based on what's been reported, is cybersecurity. Specifically, the concern is that Mythos is capable enough in the domain of finding and exploiting software vulnerabilities that putting it into the world, even with guardrails, represents a kind of systemic risk that Anthropic isn't comfortable with yet.
RTE, the Irish broadcaster, had a piece that framed it well. They described it as a fail-safe decision. And they quoted an industry veteran who made a point I thought was really sharp, which is that the real problem isn't AI finding cybersecurity weak spots. It's that we're nowhere near ready to fix them at the speed AI could find them.
That's the asymmetry that keeps security people up at night. An attacker only has to succeed once. A defender has to succeed every time. And if you suddenly have a tool that can find vulnerabilities at machine speed and scale, the math gets very, very ugly.
Reuters had a specific angle on this that I want to get into, which is the banking sector. They reported that AI-boosted hacks using capabilities like Mythos could have, quote, dire consequences for banks. And we're talking about the kind of systemic risk that could cascade.
Which makes sense when you think about how interconnected financial infrastructure is. It's not just one bank getting hit. It's the plumbing underneath that connects all of them. And a lot of that plumbing is old. It runs on legacy code that hasn't been properly audited in years, sometimes decades.
Dark Reading had a report specifically aimed at chief information security officers, so the security leaders inside enterprises, and they're essentially saying, start preparing now for a post-Mythos exploit storm. The assumption being that even if Anthropic doesn't release it, the capability is being demonstrated, and other actors are going to get there.
Which is the brutal reality of this situation. Anthropic not releasing Mythos doesn't make the capability not exist. It just means a safety-focused lab isn't the first one to release it. That's not nothing. There's real value in that. But it's not the same as the capability not existing.
And that's where the government angle comes in. Forbes reported that Anthropic's co-founder, and this would be Dario Amodei, confirmed that Anthropic is actively speaking with government about Mythos. And Silicon Republic had him saying, and this is a striking quote, that Mythos is just the first of power models to come. So there's an implicit acknowledgement that this is a category of model, not just a one-off.
Which is kind of what you'd expect if you've been following the capability curves. Each generation of these models has been significantly more capable than the last. Mythos being a step change in a specific dangerous capability is just the beginning of that trajectory.
Seeking Alpha had reporting on the government discussions from a more financial lens, basically asking what the regulatory implications are for Anthropic as a company. And the interesting thing is that these conversations with US government seem to be happening proactively, not because regulators came knocking.
And that's consistent with how Anthropic has generally operated. They talk about being a safety-focused lab, and here's a case where they're actually doing the thing that label implies, which is we built something powerful. We're not sure the world is ready. We're talking to the people who need to know about it before we do anything with it.
Ireland's National Cybersecurity Center also weighed in. Let's Data Science covered that. The Irish NCSC apparently did a formal risk assessment of Mythos, which tells you that the concern is being taken seriously at the national security level in multiple countries, not just the US.
Canada, as well. Times of India had reporting on Canadian concerns, and they quoted the AI minister saying, essentially, "We are taking this seriously," which is the kind of thing ministers say, but the fact that it's being said at that level of government in multiple countries tells you something.
CSO Online had a piece that I thought put the strategic frame on it well. They called it a structural cybersecurity shift. Not just a new tool, but a change in the underlying landscape of what's possible for attackers.
That word, structural, is doing a lot of work, because we've had incremental changes to the threat landscape forever. New malware, new exploits. But structural shifts are different. They're the ones where the old playbook just doesn't work anymore. And what they're saying is that a model like Mythos could be one of those.
Open Source for You had an angle I want to flag before we move on, which is the open source security dimension. Their piece was titled something like, "Anthropic's Silent AI Shift Deepens Open Source Security Fears." And the argument there is that open source software, which underlies so much of the internet, is particularly vulnerable because the vulnerabilities in it are public, the code is public, and an AI that can find and exploit those at scale is a very specific nightmare scenario for that community.
Yeah. And the open source security community is already chronically underfunded. The maintainers of critical libraries are often one or two people doing it in their spare time. The idea that a sufficiently capable AI could be pointed at that code base and find exploitable vulnerabilities faster than those maintainers could patch them is, it's a lot.
All right, so Mythos is the big headline. It's being withheld. Governments are in the loop. The security community is both alarmed and, honestly, trying to prepare. We'll keep watching this one closely.
Yeah, this story is far from over.
So switching gears, but staying in the world of Anthropic making big moves, there is something else that happened this week that got a lot less press attention than Mythos, but might actually have bigger day-to-day implications for a huge number of developers and companies.
Managed agents.
Managed agents. Anthropic quietly launched managed agents, and the way it's been described, including in a really thorough breakdown on the AI by Akash newsletter, is that this launch essentially made an entire category of startups obsolete overnight.
And when they say quietly, they mean it. This wasn't a big keynote moment. There wasn't a splashy announcement with a lot of fanfare. It just appeared, and then people started doing the math on what it meant.
So for anyone who's not deep in the agent development world, let me give a quick bit of context. For the past couple of years, there's been a whole ecosystem of tools and frameworks built on top of large language models, and on top of Claude specifically, to help developers build AI agents. Things like LangChain, things like Manus, various custom harnesses, and the whole value proposition of those tools was that they handled the orchestration layer. Getting an AI model to actually take actions in the world, manage memory, handle tool use, coordinate multi-step tasks, that's hard, and these frameworks made it easier.
And now Anthropic has built that directly into the platform.
Exactly. Akash's framing was that their moat just evaporated. And I think that's pretty fair, because if you're a developer who was using one of these frameworks to build on top of Claude, and now Claude natively does what the framework was doing, why are you still paying for the framework?
It's kind of a classic platform dynamic. You build a product on top of a platform, and then the platform adds your feature, and suddenly you're fighting for your life. It happened to APP developers when Apple and Google added native features that duplicated third-party apps. It's happened in enterprise software forever.
The interesting thing Akash pointed out is that Karpathy, and this is Andre Karpathy, the well-known AI researcher and educator, had recently posted about his knowledge management and personal organization system, and Akash used that as a deep dive framing. Because Carpathy's approach is this elaborate second brain setup, and the question is how managed agents changes what that looks like for someone who wants to actually build on these ideas.
Right. Because part of what made building an agent that could do something like Carpathy's second brain hard was exactly the orchestration problem. How do you get an AI to reliably work across different data sources, maintain context, take the right actions? That's what those frameworks were solving for. And now Anthropic is saying, we'll handle that.
The piece gets into some of the philosophical implications too. If the agent orchestration layer gets commoditized, which is essentially what's happening, then where does the value actually live? And the argument is that it starts to shift toward the data, the domain knowledge, the specific workflows you're building. The infrastructure becomes table stakes.
Which is good news for builders who actually have something differentiated to build, and bad news for the people whose differentiation was the infrastructure itself.
I'd encourage anyone who's in this space to track down that Akash piece because it goes deep on the mechanics of what managed agents actually does. But the bottom line is, Anthropic just made a very aggressive move on the developer platform side, and a lot of people in the agent tooling ecosystem are going to be rethinking their roadmaps right now.
It's a big deal. And kind of burying it under the Mythos news cycle was a very interesting choice.
Intentional or not? All right, speaking of developers rethinking things, there has been a significant amount of developer frustration surfacing this week that we need to talk about. And it's coming from multiple directions at once.
Yeah, this one's been building for a few days, and it kind of came to a head over the weekend.
So there are two separate but related issues. The first one showed up on Hacker News, which is often where developer sentiment crystallizes fastest, and it's a post titled Quantified Evidence Sonnet 4.6 Quality Regression. And the title pretty much says it. Someone did actual measurement work to demonstrate that the most recent version of Claude Sonnet, version 4.6, is performing worse than previous versions.
And I want to emphasize the quantified part of that title because this isn't just vibes. This is someone who sat down and ran systematic evaluations and came back with data showing degradation. That's a meaningful contribution to the conversation because the usual response from any AI company when users complain about quality is, we haven't changed anything, or you're imagining it.
And quantified evidence is harder to dismiss than I feel like it's gotten worse.
Exactly. And what makes this especially interesting timing-wise is that it's coming out the same week that Fortune ran a piece about Anthropic facing a, quote, wave of user backlash over reports of performance issues. So it's not isolated. There's a pattern here.
TechScene Global also had a piece specifically about the developer community. They called it the debate over Claude's performance heating up. And what they described is essentially a split. You've got users who are saying things have gotten worse, and you've got other users who are saying they're not seeing the issues, and the two camps are talking past each other.
Which is actually kind of a known phenomenon with large language models, because the performance can vary a lot depending on the type of task, the way you're prompting, even the time of day if there's load-related degradation happening. So it's possible both groups are right about their specific experience.
The second issue is more of a pure outage story, and it also surfaced on Hacker News. The post is titled, Claude Code OAuth Down for Over 12 Hours. And this is a specific pain point for Claude Code users. The OAuth authentication flow was broken for more than half a day.
12 hours of being locked out of your development tool is not a small thing. If you're a developer who's built Claude Code into your workflow, and a lot of people have, being unable to authenticate for 12 plus hours is genuinely disruptive.
The person who posted it mentioned they tried everything, including, and this made me laugh a little, using a tool called XDoTool to literally simulate typing the OAuth code character by character because paste wasn't working. That is the kind of desperate workaround you attempt when you really need the thing to work.
That's dedication, or desperation, probably both. And they made a point in the post that the issue seemed underreported outside of Reddit and Discord, which is interesting because it suggests there's a communication gap between where users are flagging problems and where the company is monitoring for them.
Gigazine, the Japanese tech publication, also had a piece this week about usage limit complaints. They reported that Claude was reaching its usage cap with what they described as typical use, meaning users doing normal things with it were hitting walls faster than expected.
And that's a different kind of performance issue than quality regression, but it's equally frustrating from a user perspective. If you're paying for a service and you hit the limit by just doing your normal workload, that's a problem.
So you've got three things happening at the same time. Quality regression reports with actual data, a major authentication outage, and usage limit frustrations. And all of this is happening right as Anthropic is trying to compete aggressively with OpenAI for enterprise customers.
PIM&TS had a piece about Anthropic gaining on OpenAI in enterprise adoption, which is good news for Anthropic. But these reliability and performance concerns, if they're not addressed, are exactly the kind of thing that can stall that momentum. Enterprise buyers are not forgiving of instability.
It's the age-old tension in fast-growing tech companies. You're pushing to add features and capabilities as fast as possible, and sometimes that means something slips on the quality or reliability side.
And the AI space has a particular version of this that I think is genuinely hard. Model updates are not like software updates. When you update software, you can usually characterize exactly what changed. With a model update, you're changing something that's probabilistic and hard to fully characterize, and you might introduce regressions in ways that only show up in specific task types that your evaluation suite didn't cover.
Which makes the community doing their own quantified evaluations, like that Hacker News post, genuinely valuable. It fills in gaps that the company's own testing might miss.
Right. And hopefully Anthropic is paying attention to that.
All right, let's talk about what's actually new and working well in Claude Code, because there's a lot of interesting stuff shipping even amid the growing pains.
Yeah, the What's New page in the Claude Code documentation has been pretty active. They're doing a weekly digest now. They call it the Weekly Dev Digest. And the idea is to highlight the features most likely to change how you actually work, with runnable code, demos, the whole thing.
Week 15, which covers April 6th through the 10th, has a feature that I think is actually really clever. They've added what they're calling Cloud Plan Mode. And the way it works is, you kick off Plan Mode from your terminal, the planning session runs in a Claude Code on the web session, and your terminal stays free while that's happening.
Oh, that's smart. Because one of the friction points with agentic coding tools is that they can tie up your interface while they're doing long-running things. If the planning is happening in a separate web session and you can just check in on it from your browser, that's a much nicer workflow.
And then you can comment on individual sections of the plan, ask for revisions, and approve before anything actually gets executed. So there's a human-in-the-loop checkpoint built into the flow.
That's the right design. Especially for the use cases where the plan might have significant real-world consequences, like touching production infrastructure or making changes to a large code base. You want a moment to review before things start happening.
The docs also have a full guide on creating Claude Code plugins this week, and this is something I think is going to be big. The idea is that you can extend Claude Code with custom functionality, skills, agents, hooks, MCP servers, and then share those across projects and teams.
And that's kind of the playbook that made VS Code successful. The core tool is good, but the ecosystem of extensions is what makes it indispensable. If Claude Code can build a similar ecosystem, where teams are building and sharing plugins for their specific workflows, that's a massive network effect.
The docs distinguish between creating your own plugins and discovering and installing existing ones, which suggests there's going to be some kind of registry or marketplace for these, which is a natural next step.
And you can imagine domain-specific plugins being really valuable, a plugin that knows how your company's API works, or one that understands your team's testing conventions, or one that handles your specific deployment process. That kind of customization is hard to get from a general purpose tool.
They also shipped a guide on optimizing your terminal setup, themes, appearance, that kind of thing, which is maybe less exciting, but tells you they're thinking about Claude Code as a long-term, everyday environment. You optimize for aesthetics when you expect people to live in something.
Yeah, if you're spending 8 hours a day in a tool, whether the theme matches your terminal actually matters. It's a quality of life thing that signals they're treating this as a professional environment, not just a demo.
And there's a common workflows guide that covers the practical day-to-day stuff. Exploring unfamiliar code, debugging, refactoring, writing tests, creating pull requests, managing sessions. With example prompts, you can actually adapt to your own projects.
The example prompts thing is underrated. The difference between getting something useful out of Claude Code and not often comes down to knowing how to phrase what you want. Having good examples lowers that learning curve significantly.
That actually connects to something else that came out this week on the tooling side. There was a show HN post, a show Hacker News, where you're sharing something you built with the community for a product called Mercury.
Mercury, yeah. I saw this one. The pitch is no-code orchestration for human and agent teams, and the founder, Naveen, was pretty direct about what they're solving for. He said they spent the last year deploying AI agents for large enterprise teams, and the agents worked fine. The problem was managing them.
Which is a really honest and useful framing. Because I think a lot of the conversation about AI agents has been about whether they can do things. Can the agent actually complete the task? And the answer is increasingly yes, for a lot of tasks. But then you deploy it inside an organization and you discover that knowing whether it did the task, integrating it with human workflows, figuring out when a human needs to step in, that's the actual hard part.
It's the management layer problem, and it shows up at scale in ways it doesn't when you're just prototyping. When you have one agent doing one thing, you can just watch it. When you have 20 agents doing 20 things, some of them interacting with humans, some of them interacting with each other, you need tooling to see what's happening.
And they mention Claude Code specifically in the post, which is interesting because it suggests they're building in that ecosystem. The question with Mercury is going to be how Anthropic's managed agents launch affects them.
Right. Because the thing they're solving, orchestrating humans and agents together, is adjacent to what managed agents is doing. They might be differentiated enough that they survive, especially if their value is specifically in the human-in-the-loop coordination piece, which is genuinely hard and maybe not fully covered by Anthropic's native offering. But they're going to have to make that case clearly.
The no-code angle is interesting, too. If you can orchestrate these workflows without writing code, you're opening this up to operations people and project managers who would never touch a developer tool. That's a different audience than Anthropic is primarily optimizing for.
Yeah. The enterprise workflow automation market is genuinely huge, and there's a real argument that the right interface for a lot of it isn't code. It's something more like a visual workflow builder. And if Mercury can be that for AI agent teams, there might be a real business there, even in a world where Anthropic has managed agents.
All right, let me tell you about something happening in the Microsoft Office suite, because this is one of those, wait, that's actually a thing now moments.
Claude for Word.
Anthropic has launched Claude directly inside Microsoft Word, and not in a basic way. Thurrott and GitHacks both covered this, and the feature list is genuinely impressive. We're talking tracked changes integration, comment replies, and document scanning.
Okay, tracked changes is the one that gets me, because tracked changes in Word is the foundation of how a lot of professional document collaboration works. Legal contracts, academic papers, business proposals, all of that revision workflow goes through tracked changes. If Claude is operating natively within that system, it's not just suggesting text, it's becoming part of the actual document workflow.
And comment replies too. So you can have Claude respond to comments in a document, not just generate content in the body. That's a much more integrated collaboration model than a sidebar AI assistant that you copy and paste from.
The document scanning piece is interesting because that opens up the use case of bringing existing documents into Claude's context. You're not starting from scratch. You're asking Claude to understand a 50-page contract and then help you revise Section 7. That's genuinely useful work.
It's a big deal for enterprise adoption because Word is just deeply embedded in how a lot of organizations operate. If you can get Claude into the tool people are already using every day, rather than asking them to switch contexts and go to a separate interface, the adoption friction drops dramatically.
And it's a smart competitive move. OpenAI has been working on their Microsoft integration. That relationship is well established. But Anthropic coming in with a Word plugin that has tracked changes support is a real statement. They're not conceding the Office ecosystem.
One thing I'd be curious about is how it handles the prompt to accept all changes problem. Like, if Claude makes 50 tracked changes in a document, you theoretically have to review each one. Does it give you a summary? Does it make it easy to selectively accept? That workflow matters a lot in practice.
That's the thing. The quality of the integration in the details is what will determine whether professionals actually stick with it. If it creates more review work than it saves, people will abandon it fast. But if it's smart about how it presents changes, it could be transformative.
We'll be watching how people in legal and finance and other document-heavy industries respond to this over the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's the real test.
On the note of Claude showing up in interesting places, Yale University held a student hackathon centered on Claude this week.
Yale Daily News covered it. And I thought this was a nice story. Students organizing to build with Claude and promote it on campus.
The grassroots campus adoption angle is interesting to me from a long-term perspective. Because the students at these hackathons today are the developers, product managers, and founders of 5 years from now. Getting them building on Claude at that stage of their career is a pretty savvy form of developer evangelism.
It's the kind of thing OpenAI did really well early on. Getting into universities, getting students building, creating familiarity with the platform before those students enter the workforce and start making tool decisions for their teams.
And connecting back to that Pimentz piece about Anthropic gaining on OpenAI and enterprise, this is part of that same story. You build enterprise adoption partly by having a pipeline of people who grew up using your tools.
The PYMNT's data was pretty striking, actually. Rising adoption among enterprises, which is the market that really matters for revenue at this scale. And it's not just because of capability. They were pointing to trust and reliability as factors, which is why the performance concerns we talked about earlier are worth watching carefully.
Yeah, if you win enterprise trust and then have a string of reliability issues, you can give it back fast.
You can.
All right, before we get to our last few stories, I need to flag something on the security side that is genuinely concerning and every Claude user should know about.
The fake installer.
Security Affairs reported that there is a fake Claude AI installer circulating that abuses something called Dynamic Link Library sideloading to deploy PlugX malware.
So let's unpack that for people who aren't in the security weeds. Dynamic Link Library sideloading is an attack technique where a malicious program exploits the way Windows loads software components. Legitimate programs sometimes need to load external files. Those are the dynamic link libraries. And attackers can put a malicious version of one of those files in a place where the program picks up the bad one instead of the real one.
And PlugX is particularly nasty because it's a remote access Trojan. Essentially, it gives an attacker persistent remote control over your machine. It's associated with nation-state-level threat actors, which tells you something about the sophistication of whoever is behind this.
The combination of a legitimate-looking Claude installer as the lure with nation-state malware, as the payload is a high-quality attack. Most people who get hit by this are going to see what looks like a Claude installation, maybe even get a working version of something, and not realize they've also installed a backdoor.
So the message is very simple. Only download Claude from official Anthropic channels. The website anthropic.com, the Claude application through official app stores. If someone sends you a Claude installer through any other channel, do not run it.
And this is a pattern we've seen before with other popular AI tools. The more demand there is for something, the more attackers will exploit that demand with fake versions. Claude's rising popularity makes it a more attractive lure.
Yeah, it's a perverse compliment in a way. If nobody wanted to use it, nobody would bother faking it.
Small comfort for anyone who got hit, though.
None at all. Be careful out there.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to end on a story that I find genuinely fascinating and a little bit surprising, which is that Anthropic is apparently seeking guidance from Christian leaders on moral standards.
National Today had this, and my initial reaction was, wait, what?
Mine too, honestly. But the more I think about it, the more it makes a kind of sense within Anthropic's broader approach to AI development.
Walk me through your reasoning there, because I want to understand it.
So Anthropic has been pretty open about the fact that one of the hardest problems in AI development is the alignment problem. How do you get an AI system to behave in ways that align with human values? And that requires you to actually articulate what human values are. And that turns out to be a much harder problem than it sounds.
Because humans don't agree on values, and the values that feel universal often turn out, when you probe them, to have deep roots in specific cultural and religious traditions.
Right. So if you're trying to build an AI that has genuinely good values, rather than just good PR, you probably need to engage seriously with the traditions that have spent centuries or millennia thinking hard about what good values look like. And that includes religious traditions.
That framing makes sense. It's not necessarily about endorsing any particular religious doctrine. It's about taking seriously the intellectual heritage that religious ethics represents. A lot of moral philosophy, secular and religious, has engaged deeply with questions like, what do we owe each other? How do we balance competing goods? What makes an action right or wrong?
And Christian ethics in particular has a very long and sophisticated tradition. You've got everything from early church fathers through Aquinas, through the Reformation, through modern Catholic social teaching and Protestant moral theology. There's a lot there to engage with.
The interesting question is what they're specifically asking. Are they asking about specific content questions? Like, what's the right position on a contested moral issue? Or are they asking more about methodology? How do you reason about ethics at all? How do you build institutions that hold moral authority accountable?
I'd guess it's more the latter, because the former would be a minefield. If Anthropic said, we consulted with Christian leaders, and therefore Claude takes these specific positions on these contested issues, that would create enormous problems. But if they're learning about how to think about institutional ethics, how communities hold values across time, how to build trust, that's much more tractable.
There's also a practical angle that I find interesting, which is that a huge portion of the world's population has moral frameworks deeply shaped by Christian tradition. If you're building an AI system that interacts with billions of people, you probably want to understand how that large community thinks about ethics, rather than assuming a secular Western academic philosophical framework is universal.
And Anthropic has been doing similar engagement with other traditions too, though this particular story focuses on the Christian leaders' conversation. The broader goal seems to be building something that's genuinely pluralistic in its moral reasoning, rather than just reflecting a narrow slice of perspectives.
It's ambitious. It might not fully succeed, but it's the right problem to be working on, because the alternative, just encoding the values of whoever happens to work at an AI lab, is clearly insufficient.
And the fact that they're seeking outside input rather than assuming they have the answers is, I think, the right posture. These are genuinely hard questions that humans have been wrestling with for a very long time.
Yeah. Humility in the face of questions that difficult is probably the right approach.
One more story before we close, and this is more of a something-to-watch item, but it's interesting enough to flag. Pionika Web reported that Anthropic may be building a lovable-like app builder directly inside Claude.
Oh, that's significant if true.
For people who don't know Lovable, it's a product that lets you build web applications through natural language. You describe what you want. It builds it. There have been a few players in this space. It's been growing fast.
And the pattern here is very similar to the managed agents conversation we had earlier. Anthropic building something natively that currently exists as a separate product built on top of their API.
Right. If Claude can natively build applications, not just generate code, but actually scaffold, deploy, and iterate on working software, that compresses the entire idea to working product cycle dramatically.
And it hits different markets simultaneously. You've got the developer who just wants to prototype something fast. You've got the non-technical founder who has an idea but can't code. You've got the product manager who wants to mock something up without waiting for engineering resources. All of those people become potential Claude users.
The inside Claude framing is interesting because it suggests it wouldn't be a separate product. It would be a capability within the existing Claude interface, which is a very different go-to-market than building a standalone app builder.
If that's accurate, it's a bold move, because you're essentially saying Claude is the platform, and the application building capability is just one of the things Claude does. You're not competing with Lovable specifically, you're subsuming the category into a general purpose interface.
Which goes back to the broader theme of this morning's show, honestly. Anthropic is making aggressive platform moves. Managed agents, the word integration, and now potentially native app building. They're not just building a chat assistant. They're trying to be the layer that everything else runs through.
And CoreWeave had a piece in AI Magazine this week that's relevant context here, which is about the infrastructure layer. CoreWeave is powering OpenAI, Meta, and Anthropic's AI infrastructure. And there's a dynamic there worth understanding, which is that all of these aggressive feature moves require enormous compute. The infrastructure investment required to do all of these things at scale is staggering.
Which is why the funding and revenue dynamics matter so much. All of this is only possible if the business is working.
And the enterprise adoption gains that PYMNTS reported on are what funds the infrastructure that enables the feature development. It's a flywheel. And right now, it seems to be spinning in a positive direction for Anthropic.
All right, I think that's a good place to pause. We've covered a lot of ground today. Let's do a quick run-through of the key takeaways before we sign off.
Mythos is the big one. Anthropic has built a model they're not releasing because of cybersecurity concerns. Governments are in the loop. The security community is trying to prepare for a world where capabilities like this exist.
Managed agents launched quietly, and it's a potentially huge deal for the agent development ecosystem. A lot of frameworks just lost their core value proposition.
Claude Code continues to ship rapidly. Cloud plan mode, plugins, workflow guides, but it also had a 12-hour authentication outage that frustrated a lot of users.
Sonnet 4.6. Quality regression has quantified evidence behind it, and broader performance complaints are getting louder. This is something Anthropic needs to address directly.
Claude, for Word, is real and has genuinely useful features, including tracked changes, integration, and comment replies. Worth trying if you live in Word.
There is a fake Claude installer circulating that deploys serious malware. Only get Claude from official sources, period.
Anthropic is engaging with Christian leaders on moral standards, which fits into a broader project of taking pluralistic moral input seriously in AI development.
And there are hints of an app builder being built natively into Claude, which would be another major platform move if it materializes.
Big week.
Big week. And honestly, most weeks feel like big weeks in this space right now, but this one genuinely was.
Yeah, there's no slow news cycle anymore.
All right, that is Claude Daily for Tuesday, April 14th, 2026. If you found this useful, share it with someone else in the AI space. If you have thoughts or pushback on anything we covered, we'd genuinely love to hear it.
And if you are a developer who got locked out of Claude Code OAuth for 12 hours and tried the extra tool workaround, respect. We see you. We hope your day got better.
We're rooting for you. All right, I'm Alex.
I'm Sam. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
We'll see you tomorrow.